It's interesting what you're saying about animals being a nuisance, though, because as a city dweller, I find that my experience of animals being a nuisance is within, you know, I never see them. It's an invisible menace. It keeps me awake. I can hear mice crawling around under the floorboards, perhaps, or foxes outside screaming. In London. But again, you know, just this, you know, Adam talked about the damage that animals can do, and of course that's an issue if you've got a mouse nibbling through your cables or whatever. But it's interesting that I'm aware of animals around me in the city, but it's this horrible, intolerable scratching somewhere within the room that I can't get to. You know, sometimes, I mean, it's, at the moment it's not a problem, but it has been. And it's a real menace when you can't quite locate this thing. It's like film Mouse Hunt.
There's also a point where you tolerate it.
Yeah, you just learn to live with it. And you sleep with earplugs in and you just sort of...
lots of ants on the balcony living in the wall. And there's just...
you can hear them.
No. Well, sometimes I imagine I can, but...
You hear them knitting.
This is what I mean, because I think because I spent, spending a year just fine-tuning my listening, my hearing, really, to pick up on these micro sounds, it does become...
In London, you focus on the micro sounds of mice, as opposed to...
Sirens.
The sirens become the background noise, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
And
the mice don't. Yeah.
No, they don't.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Other people.
Yeah.
But there's something about it being in such close proximity. We've been thinking about this idea quite a lot, about the idea that the membrane of the house or the fabric of the house being skin, you know. Mm. And then it's okay if things are outside of it, but actually if things are actually occupying that dermis, you know, then you start to get really nervous.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually feel happiest when I see a mouse, because then I can see, okay, it's you. You've been making this noise.
Yeah.
You've gone, but I've seen you. You know,
but it's like my balcony belongs to the ants.
Right.
I'm the tolerated presence out there.
Right.
But aren't you just tempted to go to war with them?
I've tried. I mean,
what have you tried?
Well, poison, sonic alarms, mouse glue.
Don't you trap them?
Sorry?
Don't you trap them?
Yeah, I've trapped one or two, but the problem is the traps never quite kill them, so then you've got a sort of robo mouse.
No,
that's
true. I caught about 25 in my attic last year.
That's good going.
Desperate woman.
I keep a lot of textiles up there and a lot of paintings. And, you know, one year I just decided to clear out and found it eaten 3/4.
What do you do with the mice? I mean, does the trap kill them?
I live opposite an undertaker.
Or the carrion, anybody does. Mm. But the worst thing you can do is actually trap them in a humane trap, because they're homers.
Yeah,
and they start to go home, and they're also territorial. You're on another mouse's territory, and they will kill each other.
I've had a mouse trap where two mice went in and
only one came out.
Well, one and a half.
Very fat.
That's horrible. Well, we have two mice horses. So,
what do you do about pest control, John? Because you must have to deal with it.
Not a lot, really. I do sort of try and keep the rats under control, but everything else I don't really bother with.
Much.
With. No, just some poison.
Right.
I'm afraid. But mice and things like that, I just tolerate it, really.
What is it that brings the rats in that makes them such a problem?
Animal feed, basically.
Stored feed.
Stored feed, But they sort of, if they're a tolerable level, you know, as long as you reckon if you see one, you've got sort of 20, don't they? And if you haven't, if you see the tracks but don't see any of them, you haven't got so many, but,
They presumably do quite a lot.
I catch moles as well. I've got a neighbour that's an astute vegetarian and doesn't like killing anything, and it was quite really upset that I was catching these moles and gave me a long lecture on, you know, that it's got to live as well and it's a wonderful creature and all this, and my 5-year-old son at the time gave him a lecture on how the moles spoiled the silage, made it butyric, and actually killed the cattle and because of the spores in the soil and stuff. And so this chap sort of stood back and said, but I still don't think you do it. About 3 years later, he asked for a mole trap because one was throwing up in his lawn. So I...
What is it they do to the silage? Can you explain?
Well, basically, the soil, when you make silage or hay, if you make hay because it's dry, the soil doesn't...
obviously nothing likes eating silage, but it doesn't taste as good. But when it's in silage, you ensile it, and the acid makes the kills off the anaerobic bacteria. Mm. And if you've got soil in, you've got lots and lots of bacteria in there, and that sort of turns all those bacteria grow and turn the silage poisonous, basically.
So the soil goes into the silage because the moles are...
Because basically the mole erupts, and then when you go along with your machine, it picks up the soil as well.
Right. Yeah. And you have to test the silage to know that's happened then?
Well, you can usually tell when you sort of look at it, it sort of goes a slimy green. And
so it's quite costly as well.
But, so it's quite interesting that somebody who didn't like killing anything and was vegetarian wanted to kill it once it was making a mess of his lawn, which to me isn't that important whether a mole makes a mess of your lawn, but there you go.
Depends how you feel about your lawn.
It does, doesn't it?
But it is interesting because moles do throw up this fantastic soil.
You know, absolutely amazing
soil. And it doesn't have...
How do they sort it? It doesn't have a stone in it.
There's never a stone in it. And you put it in the garden and things grow really well in it. So that's the kind of
they're helping you.
It improves the drainage.
But in terms of your silage, I mean, how do they get in? Isn't silage, isn't that in a kind of...
It's before it's come.
It's before it... Basically, once the grass grows, the moles like damp ground because that's where their main food is, worms. Mm. So once grass grows, then it keeps the ground damp, so they tend to go in the fields where there's lots of grass, which is the ones that you're mowing. So when you go along with a mower and you scoop up the soil as well as the grass.
I don't
know how they drown in this weather. How do they not drown? They must have a little aqua gear.
We once encountered a nest when the baby moles come out of the nest and they just clamber through the wet soil in daylight, blind, with the cats just sitting there picking them off one by one, just like these delicious tidbits.
Yeah.
Beautiful
cats
things.
Really
things
well.
They don't eat them.
They'll kill them.
Bring them home as presents.
I once saw a seagull eat a mole. I was planning, and the seagull came down, ate a mole, and they sort of gulped it down the hole, and I just had this image of this mole digging down the seagull, with a great big shovel hand.
Better
get some Gaviscon now.
Just kept the chips.
Just start a bit falling out of the sky,
I guess it depends a little bit what kind of relationship you have with these animals, because like for me in Iceland where I grew up, there are no moles, and my first time that I saw one, real one, was actually with loads of others hanging up on a wire, and and then I've seen few since, where my cats have caught them. I mean, they're incredibly beautiful animals. It's really difficult to have a relationship with them where you just want them. I mean, we have no reason to get rid of them, and we don't have a proper lawn, we don't have anything that they could damage, so you just sort of allow them to kind of be, really. But I still feel quite fascinated. I find these beautiful big hands
people that control and who like pest control people, they like these animals more
and
than anyone else. They know more about them. I mean, when I was a child, our local farmer, he knew so much about animals, mainly so he could kill them. Mm-hmm. He just killed everything.
You think like one.
I mean, he told us so much stuff about animals, all sorts of different things, but nearly all of them were things that he was killing or wanted to kill. He was obsessive.
When I was a child, he used to be able to sell moleskins.
Is this for the trousers?
I don't know, because I've had moleskin trousers and nothing like a moleskin. But I know, I remember, my granddad catching moles, and we used to skin them when I was a little child, and used to, you'd get a penny a skin or whatever it was. It's quite an intricate art, skinning a mole.
Cheers.
I was going to say that their fur has a two-way. That's why it's such a lovely fabric skin.
No, it's funny because what you said, Adam, about pest control people. I mean, obviously, in this project, we've been working a lot with pest control people quite directly and going out on missions with them. And it was absolutely right that, that this guy, you know, one of the guys we were working with, you know, was he, we were out looking for moles with him, and but he was, a lot of the time he was asked to obviously kill rats, you know, but he absolutely loved rats. He adores rats, and so it's a really strange profession to.
I think a lot of it is. I was thinking about it earlier actually, about fox hunting and thinking about how, you know, this kind of the people who people used to think if you're going to have an animal, it's got to have a use, and yet there's a point to it. And so, and that people that used to do fox hunting kept horses in order to do fox hunting, and then that's why I think they were so upset when fox hunting was taken away from them, because they couldn't really carry on keeping horses for no particular reason.
Well, that was the idea, but then so the contradiction there, just to briefly interrupt you, hopefully, the contradiction there is that people who hunt foxes, and we know a few, you know, set aside areas so that the foxes will flourish and thrive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
no, these are
not
upper classes. These are not upper
classes. Their job was to keep these foxes down. If they had to breed more foxes in order to do that, they certainly would get to do that.